And welcome back to the Omban. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ezra.
And while there is a lockout happening, we have a few content ideas that we came up with that I find very interesting. I think it's going to be my favorite episode to record yet. Any thoughts on this, Ezra, before we hop right in?
I have a few thoughts. One is it feels like we're all back in a quarantine again with no baseball going on and nothing. And it's really bugging me. So we had to get a little creative with this episode, considering there's no new revelations in the lockout, no free agency, none of that. So we're going to start with something that Matt texted me earlier this week. And he said, out of 100, or was it 10 times?
It was 10 times.
Out of 10 at-bats against the Matt from Arm Barn Pod, he thinks that he could strike out Babe Ruth at least once. And I'm going to let you start with this because I can't fathom what you're going to say.
So I don't even remember how it popped into my head. I think I was listening to like Starting Nine or something and they were talking about it. But I was like thinking, oh no, I was on Twitter and I saw a video of his swing. And I was like, how did this guy hit 714 home runs? So I was starting like looking into like his stats and more, and I was looking at like the rules of the time period, and I honestly think I could strike him out at least once, in 10 at bats. I mean, I got some stuff that I wanted to pull up on my phone, but I mean, first off, Babe Ruth led the league in strikeouts 5 times, so it wasn't like he was one of those players that like he was never striking out, putting the ball in play. He had 1,300 strikeouts in his career. So it wasn't like he wasn't, it wasn't like he was avoiding strikeouts all the time.
So he was the first of the K or bomb guys.
I would say K or bomb. I mean, the most strikeouts he had in a year was 93, but he had a few years where he was like 90 and he didn't lead the league, but like he had a few good years of strikeouts, and they were in his prime too, like the 1923-24 seasons where he was hitting 41, 46 bombs. The year he hit 60 bombs, he led the league with 89 strikeouts. So,
okay, but this is one of the best hitters of all time that you're talking about. Let's just make sure everybody knows. Let's go through some career stats for Babe Ruth, not Baby Ruth. We are talking about Babe Ruth. A 342 career average, 714 bombs, almost 2,900 hits, and a 474 OBP. Yes, the strikeout numbers are a little high for the time period, but he never eclipsed 100 strikeouts in a season. And, I mean, he's Babe Ruth. Like, you really, like, no disrespect to you, Matt. I love you. But you're a D3 pitcher, and he's one of the greatest hitters of all time. I know the game has changed, but that is a bold statement.
Well, like I said, I mean, even if he has that 474 OBP, that's 5 out of the 10 times I get to get him. I'm probably going to get him out. And then at least one of those has to be a strikeout.
A strikeout against
on
him.
On top of that, I was looking up about how fast the pitchers threw at the top.
Yeah, what's the average fastball velocity in Babe Ruth's time?
So I couldn't find an average, but one of the top pitchers such as Bob Feller and Satchel Paige topped out around 89-90.
Okay, and what, obviously I know you're not at your healthiest right now.
No.
But at your healthiest, how hard are you throwing?
Like 73.
So That's still a stark contrast, man.
Well, if you look at the average compared to the top outs, like right now, I think the average in MLB is 95 for a fastball, but the top outs, what, 105 with Jordan Hicks the other few years ago?
Yeah. And
you know, so say the average, like between the top out and the average, is like 7 miles per hour. The average is probably around 80.
Okay.
So, like, I wouldn't say I'm too far off from that.
Right.
Then, on top of that, the, so to say, modern curveball wasn't invented or not wasn't invented, but like Bob Gibson was the first one to really start like using a curveball like
So,
efficiently in the 1960s.
Matt, you're telling me that you're gonna get Babe Ruth out at least one time by way of the K because you're just gonna throw him curveballs?
Oh, I'll mix in a few fastballs and changeups and sliders, but he's going to be a little
Matt,
scared
you
that
throw him
these balls are
fastballs,
moving.
you're gonna hit 500 feet with these modern balls.
Well, another thing is that the mound still hadn't been lowered yet.
Okay, the mound hasn't been lowered, so I
Makes it
mean,
harder to hit the ball.
look, you're making points, but like just based off of common logic, I don't know if I could ever, like, I don't think I could strike out Babe Ruth. And I'm not saying that I'm that much better than you. We're both D3 pitchers, but I don't think either of us could do it. I don't, out of 10 times, I think maybe out of 100, I could get him maybe like 5 times. But if you give him 10 at bats against me, I'm pretty confident. I don't think he'll hit like 500 against me or anything because it is still baseball. You get out even when you hit the ball hard. But Babe Ruth, 10 times? Honestly, the first issue would be throwing a strike to Babe Ruth because that would be pretty polarizing.
I honestly think that in 10 at bats, like you get one strikeout against Babe Ruth. If you raise the mound 5 inches, you start throwing them curveballs. Like,
So you're going back in the day to the same height of the mound
yes.
with modern balls, modern bats, modern curveballs, but you're just giving yourself that. So you go back in time, but with equipment is pretty much what you're saying.
I was saying I was going to go back in time as myself. So I
Okay.
have
With all
everything I
the power
know,
you have.
and then the rest of the world is the same as the 1920s.
Okay. So, 1920s
So I
world.
get a 1920 glove, 1920 ball.
So, you think you're really going to be able to throw a modern curveball with that ball?
I don't think it's impossible. I think it's going to be better than anything they threw back then.
Dude, I don't. It's just so much different than now. I think that if you get that ball, it's just going to be so difficult to throw that curveball. And with that being said, yes, I think that your knowledge of the curveball will eventually take hold. So I'm assuming you'll get some practice before with the curveball. But saying that he's gonna K up just because, like, I don't know if I can back you on that. I think you're making some good points, but it's Babe Ruth, dude.
I'm looking it up right now. 1920s baseball looks very similar to like today's baseball.
It's not about looks. It's about
I know, but like I can't obviously
the
grab a
seam, it's about the
1920s
feel, it's about
baseball.
the density. There's so much difference. And those we call it the dead ball era for a reason. Like those balls didn't fly the same. So I'm assuming they didn't get thrown the same. And I'm pretty confident that if you give a flamethrower of that time a baseball from today, there's gonna be a pretty recognizable and visible difference in velocity. I just feel like it's gonna, obviously you'll get time to prepare, but it's a lot of difference.
I feel like if like mechanics weren't really a thing back then either. So I feel like if you gave me my mechanics and like my like timing abilities with like stuff I know like right now, like the double pump leg kick or stuff like that, like I feel like I could definitely get him once. Especially with like a changeup that he might think is a fastball, like
You know what? One time on a fluke, I could give it to you.
Pat Light struck out Mike Trout. That's all I'm gonna say.
Pat Light was a professional. We're in college, and that's Babe Ruth.
Hey, if you're a college baseball player, I feel like you're a top 1% people that have ever thrown stuff.
Yeah, and he's top 1%. He's top 0.1%, even 0.01% of people that have hit stuff that were thrown by the 0.1 by that 1% of throwers. There is so much differentiation that you just it's I it's un first of all, let's just let everybody know Matt is not gonna invent a time machine to go back in time to face Babe Ruth. And
We'll see.
if he does, I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. but I just, it, I can't believe that, I can't push it through my thick skull that you would strike out Babe Ruth.
Yeah, there's no shot we're getting a definite answer on this because, like you said, there's, I can't make a time machine. And if I could, I would. But, I mean,
you make a reasonable point and you put in the work and, you know, you've swayed me a little bit. I think you can get him on a fluke. But it's, I'm going to keep saying it. It's Babe Ruth.
I mean, like, and if you watch his, there's videos on Twitter of him playing. He swung out of his shoes every single time.
And he hit three.
Yeah, I know. But if you're telling me I give him a changeup that he's not expecting, he's 15 feet in front of that.
I mean, I could see it happening. You know what? I can see it happening. But I think that we've gotten to the point here. You could maybe strike out Babe Ruth. I get it. And from one crazy subject to another, we're going to hop into our next segment on the arm barn. And that is considering the current climate of baseball. We have come up with a creative and new way to have fun on a podcast. And we're doing a non-pro baseball player, pretty much a celebrity snake draft today. I saw somebody do something similar on, I think it was Instagram, and I wanted to try it out. So I texted Matt. I was like, why not? And we did a coin flip and I lost and Matt deferred for the second pick. So again, we're just taking guys, gals, whomever we want in a snake draft to make a lineup. We're going to get a full starting nine. We're not going to do a DH. We're going to do nine picks. And I'm on the clock, I guess. And so for our first picks, we both decided that we would have one professional athlete, a current professional athlete, to captain our teams.
Oh, and just to clarify before we start too, the picks we take, like, you get them playing like they're today.
Right now.
So
current, like, day.
Whoever Ezra takes first overall, first pick, it's like this guy's knocking on his door right now and playing baseball with him.
Exactly. And so with that, my first pick is somebody that when we first decided, Matt texted me, he's like, so I'm either taking Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray, both guys that were drafted. And I stuck with that theme, another guy that got drafted. But he's not either of those guys, but he is a quarterback in the NFL. And as much as I hate to say it, because I am a Saints fan, I'm taking the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be my catcher. I'm taking Tom Brady.
So I actually changed. I had one of two captains that I wanted, and Tom Brady was my other captain because I couldn't find another catcher to put on this list.
Yeah, so, well, it's mine. He's mine. I know you're a Pats fan, so you're wearing a Pats shirt right now, but I'm taking Tom Brady. He got drafted by the Expos to be a catcher. He obviously chose football, but now he's my captain.
Well, with that, I guess I'm on the clock, and for my captain, I will be taking the first round pick in an MLB draft by the Oakland Athletics, Kyler Murray, as one of my outfielders.
As one of your outfielders, I like that pick. Obviously, he was my other captain pick if you picked first and took Brady. But I mean, it's Kyler Murray. He's explosive on the football field. Why wouldn't he be? So Matt, who's your next pick?
Alrighty, so I have a few options here, but I wanted to take a pitcher because I felt that was pretty important. And I know a lot of people may not have heard of him, but he's a rapper. His name is Mike.
Mike.
It's Mike, period. That's literally his whole name.
Uh-huh.
And he used to play at Duke with Marcus Stroman.
Really?
And he is now a rapper. But he stopped playing baseball because he got Tommy John.
So maybe he lost a little velocity and Brady can hit a little dinger off of him.
How did you find Mike?
So obviously people that know me, I'm a huge Strowman guy, and Strowman actually has a few songs with him that he's featured on. And so I've like heard of him for a while. He's a New England guy too. So I've been listening to him for a while and so stuff like that. I've known him. I actually recently found out he was a pitcher at Duke, like didn't know about it for a while. So.
Huh. Well, I guess you have probably one of the better pitching options that you could, take. Well, with my second pick in the 2021 Arm Barn Celebrity Snake Draft, I'm also actually going to take, actually, I'm not going to do that yet. I'm going to do something a little off the rocker. And I'm going to take, no, I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm going to take Kurt Russell. He played 3 years of minor league ball before he got shoulder surgery. He was a second baseman. He actually had a pretty decent career in the minors. I have his stats pulled up on my phone. He ended up in four seasons in low A ball. He hit a career 279. And in his six games in double A, he actually hit 563 before getting shoulder surgery. And I know he's a little bit older, but I gotta go with the guy that played legit baseball for a few years. So my second baseman is gonna be Kurt Russell. And moving into my next pick, I'm gonna do something also straight on the same line as that. I'm taking one of my outfielders, which another huge movie star, one of the most good-looking men in Hollywood, a silver fox, if you will, played high school baseball and got a tryout with the Reds once. He screwed that. He did not obviously get his opportunity, but it's George Clooney. Played high school ball, was all state. And I had to take him. Why not take George Clooney for my celebrity team?
Alrighty. So I have back-to-back picks here.
That you do.
So for my shortstop. I'm going to take Charlie Sheen. So he actually did play baseball in high school, and he was a pitcher and a shortstop. And while he's got a little bit of age on him, he's not too far off from Tom Brady, I guess. He's 53, but I feel like he's a good guy to have up the middle.
Matt, you scumbag. You stole my pitcher. I was going to take the wild thing as my pitcher, dude.
And then to fill out my middle infield, my second baseman who played shortstop and pitcher in high school, to take another one of Ezra's pitchers, maybe not, is Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen. Well, not on my list. I am glad he's not on my list because I would have been screwed. I do have another pitcher waiting in the wings that I'm pretty confident you won't have. So Morgan Wallen, he played second base in high school, you said?
She played shortstop and pitcher, but I'm moving him over to second base to fill my middle infield.
Easy transition.
I would say so. Trey Turner did it, so I don't see why Morgan Wallen couldn't.
Also a Major League Baseball player, so we'll let that go. I'm going to now have my set of back-to-back picks, of course, and I will also be filling out my middle infield. And that will be with a great, great, great guy, very funny, myself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not actually going to go middle infield. I'm going back to my outfield, where I am going to take the one and only MC Hammer, the two-hit wonder himself. I did some research
found out that he actually got his name MC Hammer from a teammate of his who said that he looked a little bit like Hammer and Hank Aaron. The name Hammer stuck. And now we have MC Hammer, who was a star in high school, also got a professional tryout with the Giants. Again, didn't work out very well, but it's just another guy who clearly had some baseball acumen. And then I'm going to finish my outfield early here. And I'm actually going to specify what position he's going to play. He's going to be my center fielder, and I don't think that it needs any real reasoning, because the song Center Field is written by and performed by him. My center fielder, the one, the only, John Fogerty.
Interesting picks. I actually, MC Hammer was on my board as well. Something I found that you didn't mention was he was actually a bat boy for the Athletics for a little bit too.
See, he knows the game. He's perfect for my outfield. I got corner outfield of Clooney and MC Hammer with John Fogerty in center field. You can't write a song that good about baseball without being good at baseball yourself. I'm convinced of it.
All righty.
You have two picks, sir. Who are you going to take?
I think with my first pick, I'm going to stick with the country artists. And I'm going to take Jason Aldean as my third baseman.
Yeah, that was a guy on my list too.
He had scholarship offers to play D1 out of high school, but he just didn't have the grades and eventually just became a country music star.
I think he made a pretty good life decision. I think it turned out pretty well for him.
I would say so as well. And then I think that I'm going to take another outfielder, I should say, that I know Ezra knew I was thinking about taking, but I'm going to take Haley Cruz.
Haley Cruz.
She was a softball player at Oregon. She's actually engaged, and I think she's getting married to Garrett Mitchell, who's in the Brewers organization, in a few days. She was a star player for Oregon, and I'm pretty sure she plays for the Stars now in the softball league.
Yeah,
I could be wrong with that, but she's really good.
I like that pick. I think she's huge on TikTok now. I know that for a fact. I haven't really kept up with her after her rise to stardom at Oregon. I know a lot of people know that name. And I think that's a really, really sturdy pick, solid. And my next two, I think this will be my sixth pick, will be a gal also, very famous. A lot of people loved her performance in A League of Their Own. At third base, I'm taking Rosie O'Donnell. A great performance that was actually inspired by her love of baseball. Her brothers taught her to play when she was young, and she played with them at third base actually until I believe high school. So that's who my third baseman is going to be. And going along with that, I'm actually going to take my pitcher, and this is going to be really unconventional because my number one pitcher pick is gone. My second pitcher pick is a little crazy. I'm gonna go with JoJo Siwa.
Interesting.
It sounds crazy, but we've seen in one of my favorite baseball movies, obviously not the best, shout out The Sandlot, because that's the best baseball movie there is. But my second favorite is Rookie of the Year. And we all know how effective a little underhand Ephus pitch can be. And JoJo actually did play softball when she was little. And I'm assuming learned how to pitch in softball. So I'm going to take her talents on the softball field. And I'm going to put her on the mound from 60 feet, 6 inches, because I really wasn't expecting you to take Charlie Sheen that early. I was
honestly probably going to take him with my next pick before you did. So
snagged him up.
You sniped my guy, and I'm going to have to go a little more of an unconventional route. I also know that JoJo can hit for herself. We saw it in the celebrity softball game. So I'm going to stick with JoJo Siwa on the bump. And I believe, Matt, it's your pick now.
Alrighty. I originally had this guy as an outfielder for me, but I'm going to take him as my first baseman. He was also in the celebrity softball game. And it will be Quavo.
Quavo, a guy that was actually on my list also.
And then for my second pick this round, I'm going to go a little wild here.
Well, you already have a wild thing, so you can't really get much more wild than that.
My last outfielder, probably going to be a corner outfielder, will be Justin Timberlake. So Justin Timberlake, I don't know if he ever played baseball in his life. I could not tell you. But he was exceptional at golf, which is another rotational sport. So I'm kind of just hoping that's going to translate over. He's pretty young, seems like an athletic guy. So,
You know what? It's a little bit out there, but I also have JoJo Siwa pitching. So, you know, Justin Timberlake in the corner outfield, getting ordered around by Kyler Murray and Haley Cruz, two very experienced outfielders. So hopefully that'll help you out a little bit.
Yeah, they'll pick up the slack with this fielding out there.
All right. Well, I have two picks to finish off my roster. I need a first baseman and a shortstop. And I'm going to take at first base, I'm going to follow your lead, Matt, and I'm going to take a country music star. I'm going to take Garth Brooks. He has made 3 celebrity appearances in spring training with the Mets, Royals, and Pirates. And one time actually signed a minor league deal with the Padres. He was a first and third baseman, and he played corner outfield as well. So I'm going to take Garth Brooks to be my gold glove, hopefully, first baseman to smash the ball out of the yard. And with my last pick, my shortstop, I really have a lot of places I could go here. And obviously my eye falls on one name on my big board, and that's Will Ferrell, considering he's played all 9 positions in one day in our favorite spring training, which might get cut short. Please don't. Please end the lockout soon. I need it. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take another music star by the name of Nelly, who was a high school standout in baseball, was scouted several times in high school before pursuing a rap career, I believe from St. Louis. And he's gonna be my man up the middle at short. And now, Matt, on to your last pick, who I believe is, what position would that be?
My catcher. So I'm taking this pick. This is gonna be my wildest pick easily. Strictly want him on my team for morale and because he's in one of my favorite baseball movies of all time. And that would be Jimmy Fallon.
I'm baffled.
It's a wild pick, but
Jimmy Fallon, like the Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon.
Yes. That Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
Couldn't tell you if he ever played sports in high school. His athletic background.
Considering he was on SNL, I'm assuming he did some theater in high school, which doesn't really mean anything, but it takes a lot of time. So maybe playing sports was second fiddle. But Jimmy Fallon,
I think you'd be a great pick for, you know, the social media team to, you know, get our team out there and great morale boost for the rest of the players.
All right. I'm actually going to throw a little curveball to you, Matt. We're now going to do a managerial pick. I thought
you
of this.
Some extra options out here.
I thought of this really randomly as soon as you picked Charlie Sheen. I don't know why, but it came to mind. And I think that it would be a fun little who's gonna lead our team. And I'll let you pick your manager first. I'll give you a little time if you need, and I'll pick. But
so this guy, it's actually funny because I was looking into him as a player, but I didn't pick him. But I feel like overall, he would be a great manager. I don't know how much he knows about baseball. Wasn't even born in America. But I'm taking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Taking Arnold as your manager.
Oh, yeah. We're going to pick things up and put them down.
All right. For my manager is another guy I was also looking at to play. But I also thought you would have taken a lot of other guys off of my list. So I didn't end up having to come to this. But this man is smart. All of us know him. All of us love him. And he's played in a celebrity softball game, had a huge clutch hit a couple years ago. And that's the man himself, Bill Nye, the science guy, as my manager. Because he's smart. He clearly knows a little bit about baseball. And the face of the team, it's got to be Bill Nye.
It's a solid pick.
So with a little team wrap up, my starting lineup is pitcher JoJo Siwa at catcher Tom Brady with Kurt Russell and Nelly up the middle. At third base, I have Rosie O'Donnell. In the corner outfields, I have George Clooney and MC Hammer and John Fogerty. Scouting around in center field, of course. And you, Matt, have Fallon at catcher, Mike at pitcher, Quavo, Morgan Wallen, Charlie Sheen, and Jason Aldean from first to third. And your outfielders, most likely in center, I'm assuming Kyler Murray, right?
Yep.
And then corner outfields, Haley Cruz and Justin Timberlake, managed by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You could put together quite the team.
This segment has gone a lot better than I expected. It was very fun to do.
Oh, and this has easily been my favorite thing to do so far.
Dude, these teams are
a little out there.
I have to say, they're a little crazy. But that's pretty much what this entire segment's been about. And now, I guess we're going to have to move on and into our favorite closing segment, and that's the Mount Rushmores. Last week, we did the O's and the Sox. The Red Sox, of course, our two favorite teams, and we thought this week we would go two NL teams this time. We decided on the Marlins and the Nationals. Now, Matt, who did you have in your Marlins Mount Rushmore?
So this one was actually kind of tough for me. There's a few players I was looking through, but my first face on my Mount Rushmore is Jose Fernandez.
Jose Fernandez, I love that pick. I don't know if anybody listening knows, but he is my favorite player of all time. He's amazing. He was an amazing pitcher. Matt, I'll let you talk about it.
He only spent 4 years with the Marlins due to his tragedy passing in 2016. But he ended up playing, like I said, 4 years from 2013 to 2016. He won Rookie of the Year in 2013, where he finished third in Cy Young voting that year. He was a two-time All-Star, and in 2016, he finished seventh in Cy Young voting. He had a career 2.58 ERA in 76 games started. He just has 589 strikeouts in his career over the 4 years. He just was one of those players that was electric to watch, and I think he would have been one of the best pitchers in today's game if he hadn't passed.
I totally agree with you there.
And I'll do a little spoiler that, yes, he is also on my Rushmore. Who else do you have, Matt?
So this was an interesting pick by me, I think. But I don't think many people would disagree, but I'm putting Giancarlo Stanton on my Mount Rushmore.
Another guy that I had. Why are you picking Giancarlo, Matt?
He did win an MVP with the Marlins. He is a four-time All-Star. He finished second MVP in 2014 with them. He's a two-time Silver Slugger, and I think he is one of the most recognizable faces when you talk about the Miami Marlins. Also part of the Jose Fernandez years, and when they weren't the best team, but they were starting to put it together towards the 2016 years before Fernandez passed. But I think he was the he stood out the year he had 59 home runs for the Marlins, and I think he is one of the big faces on the Marlins Mount Rushmore.
Just looking at his stats with the Marlins, 267 home runs in 8 years. Years with, again, like you said, 59 home runs. He had 37 a couple of years, 34 his second year in the league. The dude, even though he was playing under the name Mike Stanton in his first couple years, he was a fantastic player, and no offense to the Marlins organization, of course, but it hasn't been neither of us can talk today, around for very so we are going to have a lot of more recent players on these Rushmores. And Matt, who's your third name?
So my third name is a player who won Rookie of the Year with the Marlins in 2006. He finished second in MVP voting in 2009. He won two Silver Sluggers with the Marlins, was a three-time All-Star. I am taking Hanley Ramirez.
He's also on my list. It's crazy that we have such similar lists. Not really, but speaking of Hanley, a 300 career average with the Marlins in his 7 years, spent the longest portion of his career in Miami. I said the 300 average, 148 home runs in 7 years, 482 RBIs and 230 stolen bases. He had a career OPS of 873 with the Marlins. The dude was phenomenal for them. He finished runner-up in MVP 1 year with them. It's for a young franchise, it's pretty undeniable that Hanley would be on the Rushmore. And your last player, Matt, who might that be?
I am actually this one's very close, and I'm still kind of deciding right now. But between this and my honorable mention, we're really close, but I have to pick Miguel Cabrera. He played 5 years with the Marlins from 2003 to 2007. He was an All-Star for those years. He won two Silver Sluggers. He won the World Series with the Marlins, which is what pushed it over the edge for me on why he was the fourth player on my Mount Rushmore. But
yeah,
I don't know if you have a similar fourth.
Yeah, so my fourth was a toss-up for me. I was between Miguel Cabrera and one other guy, but Miguel Cabrera did end up being my honorable mention for the Marlins, because I think of him more as a Tiger. He didn't play too long with the Marlins. I couldn't put him on there because I don't want to duplicate guys on multiple Rushmores. So I avoided putting Miggy, but I did give him the honorable mention. My fourth name is a guy who was not in the league for very long, actually. Only played 9 years in the majors, but had his five most productive, of course, with the Marlins. And that's going to be a guy who won the World Series in 2003, was Rookie of the Year that same year, finished second in Cy Young voting with 22 wins in 2005 with the Marlins, had a career 3.78 ERA with the Marlins. And that is the greatest pitcher in all of backyard baseball history, D-Train Dontrell Willis. I had to give him the nod. I think of him as the Marlin before I think of Miggy. So that's what pushed pushed me over the edge. Another quick honorable mention to Josh Johnson. I don't know if you're going to have him as your honorable mention. No?
Well,
Josh Johnson is going to be my another honorable mention real fast. He was a fantastic pitcher with the Marlins. I have a book upstairs of the top 50 pitchers of the 2000, like the early 2000s. And Josh Johnson is actually very high up on that list. So I had to give him a nod also. But name number four for me is Dontrell Willis. Matt, who you said that neither Josh Johnson isn't your honorable mention. So who is yours?
So my honorable mention, he is one of the faces. I don't know why. He was pretty good with the Marlins, so I can see why he was one, like, way he popped to my mind. He played 5 years in Florida. He was an All-Star twice, a Silver Slugger, third in Rookie of the Year voting in 2006. My honorable mention is Dan Uggla.
Dan Uggla. Okay. That's actually not at all where I thought you were going to go there. Dan Uggla. I think of him more as a Brave. It didn't even come to mind to put him on my list. So
his 5 years with the Marlins, he had 154 home runs, which compared to the 4 years he spent with the Braves, he only hit 79 with the Braves. 263 hitter in Florida, which is his highest by a lot. 837 OPS in Florida, 349 OBP. Yeah, he's just one of the faces I think of when I think of the Marlins.
Well, that is not at all where I was expecting to go with that. We had very similar lists up until that last pick. So let's stick with the NL East with our second team Rushmores, which was a lot more difficult for me to decide, honestly.
And that's so many honorable mentions for this.
I actually do as well. And this is the Washington Nationals. So I'll kick it off by saying my honorable mentions, there's four of them.
I have three, so.
Because I couldn't in good conscience leave these guys off the list, but I couldn't put them on the Rushmore for the Nationals because, well, we'll get to that later. My first pick for the Nationals Rushmore is pretty obvious. It's Ryan Zimmerman. He is Mr. National. He was their first draft pick ever. He had a career, is still playing, actually. I forgot about that. He was pretty quiet at the end of this season. He has a career thus far of a 40.1 WAR, hitting a career 277, was second in Rookie of the Year voting, has won Gold Glove, a couple Silver Sluggers, finished in MVP voting in the 20s a couple of times, two-time All-Star. I don't think it's really debatable that Ryan Zimmerman's got to be on this list for the Nationals.
I have him on my list as well, so.
That's just another testament. Number two is I'm going to go with a pitcher, and that's going to be Max Scherzer. I think that he's been on a lot of teams. He's been on the Diamondbacks. He's been on the Tigers. But the dude won back-to-back Cy Youngs with the Nationals, had a year with two no-hitters, should have won probably three consecutive Cy Youngs, honestly. The dude was just phenomenal for the Nationals, and that's why he's got to be on my Rushmore.
Yeah, he's on mine. I don't know if I had him at number two. I think that's one spot too high for me, but I had him as my number three pick.
I don't even have these guys in order of who I think deserves it most. It's just the guy that I wrote down second.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that I wrote down third is an MVP, actually the reigning MVP with a divisional rival. But that's Bryce Harper, Rookie of the Year, MVP, Silver Slugger, All-Star games all throughout his career with the Nationals. He hasn't even made an All-Star game with the Phillies. I don't know if he was better as a National, but he's fantastic as a National, and he's still showing glimpses of greatness with the Phillies. But with the Nationals, he had a 279 batting average,
slugged 512, 184 home runs in 7 years. The guy's compared to Mike Trout all the time. He is easily got to be on my list.
I have Bryce Harper as an honorable mention.
Have Bryce as an honorable mention.
I do.
We'll get to that in a minute. And my fourth name on the Nationals Rushmore is also gonna stir the pot a little bit, but I'll explain in a moment, is Steven Strasburg. So I know he's not as healthy as he used to be. He hasn't won a Cy Young. He came third and fifth in voting at his highest. He's only been to 3 All-Star games. He did win a Silver Slugger, which I actually didn't know. But with the Nationals, he's been a fantastic pitcher. He's got 1,700 career strikeouts in 1,400 innings. He's got a career whip of just above 1. His ERA plus in his career is 1.28. He's a fantastic pitcher. I remember seeing him burst onto the scene in 2010, and he was just electric. So I have to put him on my Rushmore for the Nationals. And I'm gonna say, before we move on to your Nationals Rushmore, because I'm sure you only have 2 of the guys I have.
I do.
That I'm doing this as a Nationals Mount Rushmore, I didn't include any Expos on my Rushmore because I think that honestly, they should probably have their own segment. They should have their own Rushmore because it's separate teams. So my honorable mentions are actually an entire Rushmore for the Expos. So I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., not junior, senior, sorry, is Vladimir Guerrero.
He's an honorable mention for me.
Andre Dawson.
He's on my Mount Rushmore.
Tim Raines and Steve Rogers. No, not Captain America. Steve Rogers, the pitcher for the Expos. Those are the 4 guys that I have given honorable mentions to. I'll go over them in a little bit because I'll let you get to your list. But I had to make a separate Rushmore for the Expos organization because it just didn't feel right to put them in the Nationals. Like saying Vladimir Guerrero or Andre Dawson are on your Nationals Rushmore, it just didn't sound right to me. So that's why I had to change it up a little bit.
So I did combine both the Nationals and Expos. And we agreed on, there's Max Scherzer and Ryan Zimmerman. And to round out my Mount Rushmore, I have Andre Dawson and Gary Carter. Andre Dawson, I know he was on your Expos, Mount Rushmore. He played 11 years in Montreal. He had 225 home runs. He had 253 stolen bases, a 280 hitter in Montreal. He was just one of those players I love. They're all around, can do it all. He won multiple gold gloves, multiple silver sluggers, multiple time all-star, rookie of the year. I think he was just one of the best players in Nationals franchise history. And then Gary Carter, who also played with Montreal, spent 12 years there. He hit 220 home runs in those 12 years, 269 hitter, 796 OPS, and he's one of the best catchers of all time. He got a few all-star appearances with Montreal, to be exact, 7. He won rookie of the year, or second in rookie of the year in 1975, and he won a few gold gloves, few silver sluggers with Montreal as well.
And let's not glaze over the fact that Carter and Andre Dawson, both Hall of Famers, and Tim Raines, another guy on my honorable mentions, also a Hall of Famer, guys that you can't really just overlook. They got to be there, and I totally understand you putting them all on there.
Now, my honorable mentions, I've mentioned that Bryce Harper is an honorable mention. He only, for me, 7 years in Washington, I understand. I can see a case for him. I just couldn't put him over Gary Carter or Andre Dawson. Vlad Guerrero, I see him more as an angel. So that's why I made him an honorable mention. And then Tim Raines, another one of those players I love all around, could do it all. Multi-time All-Star, Silver Slugger of Montreal. But I know he led the league in stolen bases multiple times. He had a 90 stolen base year in 1983. But I think Andre Dawson and Gary Carter had more of the hard way.
I totally understand that. And I think that we should also say that these were tough rush
numbers. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not think about it when we decided on which teams to do, how difficult these both would be. With the Nationals, it was difficult to decipher between National and Expo. I had to separate them. I think that it was also difficult for the Marlins, considering they're such a young franchise. And these were just, people are going to be mad about some of our picks, I feel. And it's reasonable. Sam Gutkin, I know you're going to be mad and comment on our posts.
Oh, yeah. Gutkin was furious about the Hall of Fame and some of these Rushmores.
It happens. We know you're going to be mad. Comment, though, please go for it. Tear us a new one if you need to. But they were just difficult to do. And there are names that we miss. There are guys that we don't give enough shout outs to. We get it. We're not experts yet. But I think that these lists came out pretty well, considering how difficult it is to figure for these teams.
For sure. I mean, there's definitely going to be names we missed. Like, I know there's a few other people that, like, see, like, I didn't put Steve Rogers in on mine. Like, I mean, you could kind of make a case for Anthony Rendon with the Nationals if you're doing just a Nationals one.
That I was thinking too. Another guy like Larry Walker, huge Expos guy. You could even
Pedro make had a few good years in Montreal.
Exactly. And Trey Turner I don't think he has as strong a case, considering he's still got so much career left to play. But he's a guy that you could put in some honorable mentions talks. And Jordan Zimmerman even was fantastic with the Nationals. There's just a lot of guys. Pedro, I know you said, like, there's a lot of guys that we could add. But these lists, it's what we had to go with. And
especially the Marlins.
Yeah, the Marlins one was odd with there's not a ton of dudes there that really made that. There weren't a ton of Hall of Famers on that list. Obviously, Miggy's going to be is a future Hall of Famer. The argument can be made for Hanley and Giancarlo, but it's just difficult to come up with these Rushmores, considering either the short length that the franchise has been around or the differentiation between these franchises.
The Marlins too, they have a few players that like were there for 6-7 years, not even, but they had good years there. Like, I considered Mike Lowell on there. I know more as a Red Sox, you know, as a fellow AL Easter, you probably do too. But like, Mike Lowell was another option I even thought about putting on there. Christian Yelich, even though I see him more as a Brewer, he was pretty good in Miami.
And back with guys who are more known for other teams, guys like Dennis Martinez for the Expos, he was fantastic for them, even though I know him obviously more as an Oriole. You could make the argument for both of them, and it's just there's a lot of toss-up, and we understand that. But I think that will conclude another episode 3 of the Armbarn Pod. Thank you all for listening, and have a good one.
All righty, guys. Thank you for listening. Like Ezra said,